Hello and welcome to the Faculty Interview, covering the latest breakthroughs, research news and insight delivered by the world's leading academic and industry figures. In this interview, Lynn Crace discusses the process of transition from an equitable distribution of water to support semi-subsistence outcomes to a market-oriented agriculture.
In South Asia in particular, irrigation is often presented as a panacea for poverty, and this relates particularly to small rural households. But what needs to be understood is that historically those households very much lived in a subsistence world where they generated pretty much homogenous crops. So you can imagine a landscape that's pretty much dominated by either wheat or rice, and farmers all farming very similar crops with very similar land area to use. If that's the case, if you kind of think it through, the distribution of water doesn't really matter that much under that circumstance. So if, for example, there's a shortage of water, ostensibly you could water half of the farms, or you could provide half the water to each farmer and you'd end up with the same outcome, in production terms at least. So what needs to be understood, though, is that once you start to add diversity to the agricultural landscape, that solution where you have water scarcity is not going to work. So this study that we've been doing for several years now in South Asia, where we've been looking at how different irrigation institutions function, what we're finding, of course, is that we have this terrible friction between an agricultural landscape which is adjusting and a water allocation process which is based in historic norms of distributing water evenly amongst a group of farmers. In South Asia and in many parts of the world, we find that donor countries in particular see diversification in agriculture as an important thing to encourage. The logic of that, of course, is that diversification provides more stable incomes, and by shifting people into cash cropping, it opens up different opportunities for them, and people see that as a way of lifting people out of poverty. The challenge, of course, though, is if you start doing that, different people will have different appetites for diversification. And once that starts to occur, you'll find that some farmers diversify into some crops and some choose to stay with the existing crops. Now, if you overlay that with the historic norm of simply distributing the same amount of water to everybody at the same time, you're obviously going to strike problems. Because now you can have some farmers who are growing crops that desperately need water at a particular point in time, and that's going to conflict potentially with their neighbours who don't need water at that time. So you can see that once you overlay the historic way of distributing water and then you start to have a more diversified cropping mix that you're trying to service, that it's just simply not going to work. And so that's the sort of tension that's being revealed in many parts of the developing world, particularly in South Asia, where farmers on the one hand are being encouraged to diversify their outputs, but unfortunately the inputs are largely administered at a state level, and they're administered we're going to share the burden of shortage equally, and that simply doesn't work. So historically, you can imagine the state government irrigation departments were very powerful, and they still are very powerful. And their power resided in the fact that they controlled the distribution of water to all farmers. And so if you actually look at the legislation, you can see that farmers are not described as farmers or cultivators or anything like that. They're actually described as beneficiaries. So that begs the question, if there's a beneficiary, there must be a benefactor. And so we have this kind of historic relationship where irrigation departments are seen as a benefactor and farmers are seen as the beneficiary of the distribution of that water. So, and again, if we think historically, that probably wasn't that big a deal when the benefactor is simply distributing water evenly to everybody. But once you start to move into a diversified landscape, the benefactor needs to be aware of those different needs of water from different farmers. And that's very, very challenging when you have this sort of benefactor-beneficiary relationship. Because in that sort of relationship, there is a power imbalance in so much as the benefactor really has a lot of control, and the extent to which they're willing to respond to the demands of farmers who have different needs really is a challenge. So this benefactor-beneficiary relationship is really under stress as well as the existing allocation system, where it was built around sharing the shortage equally amongst everybody. In countries like Australia, for example, where we have a long history of dealing with water shortage, in this country we've created water markets where farmers are able to trade water between different farmers and also between different sectors. That works to a great degree in a place like Australia, because you have relatively strong governance structures built around water, you have reasonably good technology for measuring such a fugitive and difficult resource, and you have a really small number of farmers, to be perfectly honest. So in countries, developed countries, you find that agriculture represents a tiny portion of the labour force. In a country like India or Pakistan, you're looking at 70 to 80% of the population that's involved in agriculture, and they have a very, they have a vested interest in the distribution of water. And it's very, very difficult to simply pick up a market sort of structure and impose that across somewhere like South Asia. Just the sheer number of farmers that would need to participate in that market make that, you know, very, very challenging indeed. So whilst notionally having a water market is one way of dealing with this issue of scarcity and differences in demand for water, in practical terms, that's really not likely to be possible in a place like South Asia, at least not with existing technologies. So in that context, we need a workaround. And there are some countries in the world, I guess, that are kind of halfway between water markets and the beneficiary-benefactory relationship, that have come up with different outcomes. Thailand's a good example. So in Thailand, there's a thing called a partnership model. And again, I'm not saying that that's perfect, but there are certainly places in Thailand where you can witness how farmers come together with the irrigation department and collectively plan for the allocation of water to suit different demands. So a partnership model where you get this collaborative arrangement between farmers and the state department, irrigation departments, is something which is workable in some parts of the world where water markets are unlikely to function. So the idea of participatory irrigation is somewhere along that spectrum. And so participatory irrigation is something which has very much been on the agenda for the last 30 years at least, and is seen as one way of dealing with these frictions that are occurring between the changing water institutions. I guess the main conclusion is that we really can't persist with the beneficiary-benefactor relationship. If we really expect smallholders to be lifted out of poverty through diversification, we can't then continue to have a beneficiary-benefactor relationship which ties up the way the water is allocated between different users. And as I've indicated, it's going to be very difficult to have kind of the market mechanisms in place in some of these countries, so we need that halfway house to be developed. And really, we don't have any alternative. These are very populous nations. They're facing all sorts of stresses, both economically and environmentally. We need the institutional developments, and we need the support for that to make sure that those institutions are developed robustly and the best way possible to meet the challenges of the future.